verse 7. Two introductory notes. The first topic of Godless Adam is multifaceted, multidimensional. What we'll talk about, Ezus Hashem Benedu, in the next few minutes is hopes to focus on just one facet, just one dimension. But we should be aware that there's much more to the sugya that we're going to talk about. Note number two, the request was made to draw upon personal memories and reminiscences, whether encounters or what, through no source of my own, I've been privileged to have witnessed in terms of gatlus in my lifetime. And we in the Ezus Hashem will try to share a few memories. But it's very important to understand in this context and in general, in every context, stories are potentially tremendously valuable and powerful as a tool and as a source of learning. But they always have to be understood against and within a Torah background and within a Torah framework. Just a story without the relevant Torah framework, so then one doesn't know what to take from the story, how to react to the story, what to be nisqualified from, what not to be nisqualified from. So one can't just reminisce, one has to reflect and reminisce together in conjunction, hence the title. One of the stories that the Rav was fond of retelling was about his grandfather, Reb Chaim, that one day some of the Jews from Brisk came out of Shul, and they saw Reb Chaim all tied up, and they were aghast. Here's Reb Chaim, whose name appropriately evoked awe worldwide. Someone whom the Rav described accurately as not only the greatest of his generation, but of many generations. And here he is, tied up. So they inquired, and Reb Chaim explained, he'd come out of Shul, and there were some children, and one of them was crying. So he went over to the little boy and asked him, "Why are you crying?" So the boy said that they were playing horse, and the way that the game was proceeding was that they would take turns being the horse, and the others, you know, would be the riders and giddy up. And this little boy who was crying, it was his turn to be the horse, and he didn't want to be the horse. And they insisted that they were entitled to their fun. So Chaim said, "So I'll be the horse." You have to imagine this scene. This is Reb Chaim. So he gets down on all fours, and he's the horse, and they're riding him, and they're hitting him, and whatever you do with the horse. And then they decided they had to run home for something. So when you leave, you don't just leave your horse, because your horse may wander away. You tie your horse up. So hence, Reb Chaim was there tied up. So the Baal Batim immediately, because they couldn't move fast enough to untie him, Reb Chaim didn't let. Because then when the children come back, they'd be disappointed. So that's the story. What's the What's the Torah framework within which that story needs to be understood? Moshe kibel Torah misinai musar liYoshua. Yoshua v'skenim, skenim v'viyim v'chulo. Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains in his Perush on Pirkei Avos that what defined, the characteristic that defined each of those in the Shalshalas HaMasorah, initially Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Yoshua, and then the Zkenim, was the Anova. And Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai has to be correlated and understood in light, and because of the fact that Ra'ish Moshe Onel Ma'od Mikol Ha'odim Asher Al-Panei Adam. And similarly, the Chaim Volozhiner explains for Yoshua, and similarly for this Zkenim. The pshat, what the Chaim Volozhiner is teaching us, is that when genuine Gedolei Yisrael are not shofel, are not lowly and humble, despite their gadlus, despite all the reason that we would think that they have to reflect self-pride and self-satisfaction, it's not that they're humble despite their gadlus, but it's rather that the shiflus ha'odam is A, and according to what the Ruach HaChaim is saying, the source of godless order. The key, the source for the incredible heights that a person can attain is his self-awareness of shiflus order, of the lowliness of the person. Yitache, that there's an element of v'halachta b'drachav in that relationship. K'mokom she'ata motzei d'loso she'ata j'vorechu shama'ata motzei in v'sanusa. Wherever we're given a description, a depiction of the grandeur of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Shama Tamotzeinu Sanuso, we're given a picture and a depiction of the incredible, divine Anova, humility. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Koama Hashem Ram V'Nisa. As Dako Shalruach, Kadosh Baruch Hu is to be found in the company with those who are Shifrei Ruach. I was 6 years old when my maternal grandmother, Olah Shalom, was in Paris. From that point on, for the rest of his life, my grandfather, the Rav, lived with my parents. And my siblings and I were the beneficiaries of their extraordinary kibbutz of. One of the scenes from which is etched in my mind and my memory from my childhood is at the conclusion of the Suda Shabbos, be it the Friday night Suda, be it the Shabbos day Suda. Shalosh Shabbos was different. It was a little bit of a nisparda chavila. My father, Zichron Levracha, used to eat Shalosh Shabbos in his shtibol, so it was different. But the two sudos that we all ate together, so at the end of every suda, so my grandfather would get up and he'd start clearing off the table. Not only his own plate, he'd start clearing off the table. Everyone was finished, it was time to cut off the table. And every time he began to make his move, so Tam Shekhu, Hibada, Al Chaim Tovim, Larukim, my mother saw what was coming and would begin to object. And every time, the objection was very gently but firmly overruled. And he would cut off the tangle. And it was, he didn't see that as being anything unusual. Not that he didn't think it was, but he just, obviously he should be cutting off the table. Why shouldn't he be cutting off the table? When the phone would, we're used to thinking of godless as being sort of surrounded by trappings of royalty. When the phone would ring at home, whoever was closest to the phone would pick it up. And when someone knocked at the door, whoever was closest to the door opened the door. If my grandfather were the one who was closest, he didn't. He didn't hold himself, didn't conduct himself to be any different, any better than anyone. That there was a reason that story which we began from Chaim was a favorite of his. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Ki eres shamecha, ma'asei etzba osecha, yorech b'kochav meshekonanta. When I behold your heavens, your handiwork, the moon and the stars that you affixed in the firmament. So mo enosh kisif skarenu ben adam kisif kedenu. So who is mortal man that you should be mindful of him, and who is man that you should take note of him? And then in the very next pasuk, so David HaMelech continues and says, but nevertheless, v'tachasreihu ma'at me'elohim, v'chovet v'hodot ta'atreihu. You elevated him such that he's only a notch beneath the angels, and you crowned him, you've given him a wreath of glory. So clearly the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that David HaMelech is highlighting the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the unworthiness of Mo Enosh Kisis Kerenu, Afal Bichein is Bat Chasreihu. Afal Bichein, look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how you have elevated him in terms of the giving him the Seichel, the Neshama, the potential for such godless. But Yitochein, that in addition to that Pshuto Shel Mikra, the smichas ha-psukim again is reiterating this point that there's a smichas ha-parshios between the ma'enosh kisis kerenu, between shiflus olam and the metachasreihu ma'at me'elohim and the potential godless olam. Perkei Hilchos Deyos is about the conduct becoming a Talmud Chacham. The Rambam concludes Perkei, again quoting from Chazal, Gemara Yuma, Kol Shel Davar, a Talmud Chacham yia min ha-nirdofim velo min ha-rodfim. Min ha-ne'alovim v'lo min ha-olvim. V'odom, again referring not only to this call, but to the details which the Rambam had mentioned earlier, ואדם שעושה כל המייסים הועיל וחיוצא בהן עולם הכוסף אומר ויאמר לי עבדי עתו ישראל אשר בך אספואר. התלמוד חכם might too often does end up as a nirdof, will never ever be a rodef, never be anyone who's looking, Rahmanu Litzlan, to damage, to hurt anyone else, but may be the object of other people's malevolent schemes. Min ha'ne'alovim, invariably, a Talmud Chacham ends up on the receiving ends of insults and bizyonos. Min ha'ne'alovim v'lo min ha'olvim. You know, we know of accounts in the annals of Gdolei Yisrael. For instance, both the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya both were jailed. They both spent time in jail. They spent time in jail because of Mesira, because of Hoshana, because of all kinds of vile lies that were fabricated. There were those who did their best, the utmost best, to do the same to my grandfather early in his career. They, unlike the story with the Gaon and the Baal HaTanya, they were not successful. At the conclusion of an investigation, so the judge said that the only irregularity in Rabbi Soloveitchik's behavior was that he overpaid his taxes. That was the only irregularity in his behavior. And what's more, he said it was clear that those who had brought the accusations knew that they were false, and it was all malevolence. So after this parsha, imagine being the object of such, again, vile vitriol, and what the potential consequences could have been. So one of the characters, rabbinic characters, one of the rabbinic characters involved came over Erev Yom Kippur and said, "Echbed daich mechilu." I asked mechilu. The kind of formula that we employ after we step on someone's toe inadvertently, you know, I'm sorry, if you sort of cut someone accidentally in the line while you're waiting for the soup, you know, sorry, I didn't see that. You know, with that was as much elaboration as there was, and extended his hand, and. So my grandfather's response was, he took his hand and said, "I'm up." Just like that. He allowed this person subsequently, in subsequent years, that this story happened long, long before I was born. But in my day already, which was decades later, he allowed this person to be a friend. I have memories of this person coming to visit. I don't know of this story from my grandfather. He didn't tell me this story. And I know the story from other sources who witnessed it. Min ha'ne'alovim v'enim olvim, min ha'nirdofim v'lo min ha'rofim, min ha'nirdofim v'lo min ha'olvim. What's the pshat? The pshat is that there's such tremendous self-discipline, such gevura ilo'a, such strength of character that a person can do that. Maybe, there certainly was such strength of character and there certainly was such self-discipline. but yitachen, the correct understanding is different. The Rambam, the end of Hilchos Tumas Taras, talking about the severity of Issur Lashon Hara. So the Rambam writes, "Val inyan zeh masir v'tov v'omer hishama b'nega hatzara zocha isa she'osa Hashem l'kach l'meyum v'adorach." Harei v'omer, the pasuk says, is saying and teaching as follows, explains the Rambam. His bonenu, reflect, moi iral and Miriam hanaviyah, what happened to Miriam, the prophetess, shedibra balachiha, she spoke about, against her brother, shahaysa yudola mimenu b'shamim. This was her kid brother, this was her little brother, v'gidlasa al-birkeha, she had raised them. The sikna ba'atzma la'hatzilim in ayam, and she had endangered herself to save him when he was a newborn. What's more, v'hilo dibba v'gnuso, she didn't intend to disparage him, ela ta'asa shehishvasa l'shahem l'viyim. And there was one aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's incomparable godless that she didn't recognize the full implications of. Here comes the line that's relevant to us now. V'hu lo hikber al kol ha'dvarim ha'elu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was not in the least bit upset. Moshe Rabbeinu was not in the least bit offended. It washed right off him. It didn't wash right off him. It didn't touch him. How does the Rambam know that? How does the Rambam know that Moshe Rabbeinu was totally impervious, totally unaffected? V'hu lo hikber al kol ha'dvarim ha'elu shenema v'ha'ish Moshe anav ma'od. That's what the smichas ha'parshios, that's what the flow of the psukim is. The flow of the psukim is by each Moshe Anav Ma'od, the at least part of the reason that the Torah is here informing us of that uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu is to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was unaffected. Because a person who is such a shofel, such an Anav as Moshe Rabbeinu, there is no ego. There is no ego. There's no room to be personally offended. The greater the anova, the greater the shiflus adam, the less room there is to be personally hurt, personally offended. One can be, and we see this with Moshe Rabbeinu, one can be morally outraged. But personal affront requires ego. The less ego there is, the more the shuffle the person is, the less affected the person is. And that's the pshat. When the Talmud Chochem, when the Rebbe tells us the Talmud Chochem is min ha-nirdofim v'lo min ha-rodfim, min ha-ne'alovim v'lo min ha-olvim, it's not only because he possesses great strength of character and tremendous self-discipline and restraint, it's because he naturally is not inclined. He naturally doesn't want to. He naturally sees no cause or reason to reciprocate tit for tat in such a situation because of the shiflus. Because the Talmud Chacham, if he's attained gedula, the source, the wellspring for that gedula is the shiflus odom. What is the definition? We keep referring to Teshuvah Sarada and Ta'anava. What's the definition? What's a working definition of Anava or its antithesis of Gaiva? So a Rebbe of mine, of Gershon Zaks, used to say as follows. Someone who knows only a little bit and considers himself a big expert, a big Talmud Chacham, used to say, he's not a Bal Gaiva, he's a Matudef, he's a Meshugmeh, he's out of touch with reality. Bal Gaiva. A person knows two blat and shas. If a person only knows two blat and shas, how well can he know even those two blat? He knows two siman and shulchan aruch and thinks he's a big expert. He's a meshugmeh, not a Bal Gaiva. Me'idav Gisa, if the person does know all of Shas, it's not a maila to pretend that he doesn't know, to not recognize, to not have the self-awareness of what he does know. A Talmud Shehigia Lohara is Mechuyu Lohara's. The Talmid Echachom and the Gedolim who are worthy of being Mora Halacha, so they're obligated to do so, which obviously presumes that they're supposed to have that self-awareness. So, what's Anova, what's Gaiva? So the answer is that they both can have an accurate perception of how much they know, but the Bal Gaiva has the sense, has the attitude that it's Kofi Ba'otzim Yadi. He thinks that he's responsible. He pats him, he's self-congratulatory for what he knows. And because of that, he's boastful and arrogant. Whereas the Anav realizes what he knows, realizes that the Amola Shel Torah was absolutely indispensable, but Afal Pi Chein realizes that everything is from Ribono Shel Olam. The indispensability and the need for the Eina Torah Miskayemes Ela B'Mishamemes Atzmo Alema, that the Torah can only be sustained by a person who dedicates his life to it, that all of that sacrifice notwithstanding, a person's abilities, a person's life, a person's opportunities, a person's very existence, everything is from the Ribono Shel Olam. So what room is there to be self-congratulatory when a person is totally and entirely beholden to the Ribono Shel Olam? Once, several years ago, I had occasion to be asking Tachlis context, to be asking my brother, Hashem Yikom Domo, about a certain individual. And the praise, again, I was, context was such that if there was something negative to hear, so I was fishing to hear the negative that the context not only allowed for, but mandated it. And there was no negative relevant, so none was forthcoming. But the praise that my brother gave, he said, he described this person as follows. He says, he takes what he does seriously, he doesn't take himself seriously. You hear that? That's a rule to live by. To take what you do seriously, but not to take yourself seriously. To know that it's learning Torah, doing chesed. How a person lives is important. It's something to take seriously, but not to take oneself seriously. He takes what he does seriously, but doesn't take himself seriously. That's an application of that definition and differentiation between the onav and the bal geiva. Another characteristic, again, all these are all sort of satellites, all aspects of the shiflus, which in turn is the source of Godless Adam, is that when one is privileged to see genuine gedula, so one sees that that person is Boreach Merakov. And again, the correct understanding is that the person is not Boreach Merakov. Again, it's not being misgaber al yitzro. Maybe that's what it is for us. That we're sort of overcoming our yitzhara for COVID. But rather, let's say someone offers you a $3 bill. So when you decline that $3 bill, it's not because, oh, tremendous self-discipline. I don't want to be so materialistic, and I have enough money, I don't need more. It's counterfeit. It's nothing to do with not being materialistic. I'm very materialistic, but if you offer me a $3 bill, I will decline the $3 bill. Right? But it's simply because it's counterfeit. It's a fraud. Gedolim are borchem min hakovod. They're borchem min hakovod because it's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. B, it's the in the exclusive hakesed hakovod l'chayolam. During the week of Shiva for my grandfather, so my brother made the following comment. Generally, in his shiurim in yeshiva, in my brother's experience, so when my grandfather came across sugyas, okay, so for the most part the shiurim were in those years, I guess, moed nashim zikya, and when there would be kachshim dekein yonim, so he would skip them. That's good. Okay. So you figured, you know, maybe his okay, one thought, whatever one thought. And then my brother described how then, when he began learning the Masechtas of Seder Kodesh, and after, you know, spending hours or days working on a sugya, we would go over to our grandfather and talk to him about it. So he had the impression that he had somehow or other had inside information, had spent the past month preparing for that conversation, and that everything was so fresh. What's the pshat? The pshat is that part of being boreach min hakovod, part of the tznius, which is associated with shiflus, it is that a person only reveals what needs to be revealed. And what doesn't need to be revealed about a person's hanhagas, a person's reservoir of knowledge, of anything good that the person does or has, what doesn't need to be revealed shouldn't be revealed. Part of the tznius, part of the being boreach min hakovod, is to avoid doing things which would trigger COVID. If it's gratuitous. He didn't think the Shia needed to learn that sugya necessarily. So there was no reason to say he would skip it. Because the source, the wellspring of godless is this acute, defining sense of shiftless. It allows genuine, authentic gedolim to remain, and this is absolutely crucial for all of us, even those of us, the 99.99% who are not in this stratosphere. It allows them to remain normal. The shiftless dictates that a person doesn't see himself as being any different, any better. And because of that, remains normal. Again, one of my childhood memories, again, from age six. So my grandfather used to commute to New York weekly. He would leave Tuesday morning and would return Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening. And he had this little suitcase. He used to call it a valise. I haven't met too many other people who know or use that English word, but that's how we used to refer to it as my valise. And so someone would pick him up at the airport, although in the earlier years he wouldn't necessarily say when he was arriving and would insist on coming by cab, not to be picked up. But even if there was someone picking him up, he wouldn't let them carry his bag for him. He would carry it himself. And then he would often return home with a little white box. He would go to Grunbaum's himself. And he would choose cookies that he thought we would like. And he used to bring us home. He used to bring us home cookies. He was very normal. He was, his greatness, Kim Dumani, has yet to be appreciated by Ruba of people. The true dimensions of it. And he did all the normal things. He was a normal grandfather to his grandchildren. He was a normal brother to his brothers and sisters, etc. The normalcy and that ability to retain that, it's all rooted in that sense of shiftless. There's obviously much more, but we'll stop here.